There we are. Are we ready? This is my Bible. I believe that this is the Word of God. It is God's will for my life. It is a book of life and liberty. It is a book of wisdom for life. I am what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. I'm ready to hear the Word. I'm ready to receive the Word. I'm ready to be changed by the Word. I am ready, ready, ready. Now, this week, we carry on fatherhood, the Master Key fatherhood. And I realize that as I touch this, you might be saying, and what about motherhood? And the two do go together, honestly, if we hadn't figured that out already. But I am deliberately focusing it on this because I think that there is an emphasis in Scripture on this. And if fatherhood is in the right perspective, motherhood will also be in the right balance. And so we're going to look at this morning. Last week we looked at the whole thing of releasing these missiles, our children, into life. We asked where the manual was and discovered that there really wasn't a manual. God has given us His Word. The manual we were looking for attached to the umbilical cord wasn't there. Then we actually asked, what is the goal of our instruction? We looked a bit at goals that children have, and then we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, and the goal that God gives us. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, etc. A good conscience and sincere faith. Then I looked at the grid for development that has to do with three specific words, obedience, respect, and responsibility. And then closed with the grace for deployment, that we want to be able to release these arrows that God has given to us and send them out into the world. Now, I want to put some stats up here for you. These are sobering, because these represent basically the number of men, fathers, that have been killed in our wars. That's a lot of fathers removed, right? Do you think war is just about national security or insecurity? I think it's a strategy of Satan to try and take the fathers out. I was reading a book that was written by two psychologists, a husband and wife, and it was dealing with the whole Afro-American crisis. And these two authors, both of whom were Afro-Americans, said that they believed that the crisis is the absence of fathers and what the whole of slavery did to disrupt the socioeconomic unit of the family, the removal of the fathers, the breaking up of the family. And I thought that the case they presented was very excellent. See, this is the crisis that we face. I believe it's a crisis in fatherhood, an issue that we need to address. Now, in this, I realize that, see, we don't have perfect fathers. Is that true? Anyone here have a perfect father? Well, that's a trick. Thank you, Rick. You were listening last week. Right? There is a perfect father. Now, I have dealt with all kinds of situations, but one of the things that I am absolutely secure in is that we have a perfect father. That perfect father is a perfect provider. As such, he is a perfect protector. That is God the Father. Now, having said that, I'm also aware of something else. And that is that you can ask the question, as have many, if God is so good and so loving and so gracious and kind, why? Why? Because there are many who have gone through a literal hell on earth. I could spend the rest of the time this morning giving you stories that would make you sometimes feel like vomiting. The horrendous stories of ordeals that people have gone through. And in that sense have said to me, how can you talk to me about God the Father being a loving Father? I remember one situation I started to pray. And I just started off, Father. And I hadn't any other words out of my mouth. And the lady said, you make me want to throw up. I said, obviously there's something that I've just said or said before I started to pray that is distressing you. And she said, how can you address God as Father? And then began to unload the story of the horrendous ordeal that she'd gone through with Father. So you see, I'm aware of the fact that there are earthly fathers that have misrepresented God the Father. But I'm equally aware that we need to take our eyes off the earthly representation and get our eyes on the eternal representation.
Yes, that's right.
See, we have to be able to see God as the Father over and above all that we have gone through. And so that through the lens of God the Father, we can begin to reinterpret the events that have happened to us in time. And that's an important part for us to do. You see, when you look at how the Father has responded, not responded, abandoned, harmed, whatever it is, sexual abuse, physical abuse, whatever He's taken you through. See, one of the things that God wants you and He wants me to be able to do is to now attach new meaning to the old scars. The scars are there. I could give you the technicalities of how your brain brings this back, but I'm sure you would be just absolutely interested in it. But the fact of the matter is, it does. And when the brain brings back the memory in one form or another, what do we do with it? Just stuff it down? No. Can we begin to attach new meaning? Begin to see it through a different set of eyes? Can you look through what we talked about earlier today, through the cross of Jesus Christ? And can you see God the Father pouring out His anger and wrath upon His Son, Jesus Christ? And why did He do that? He did that because of the mistreatment that you experienced or I experienced. God the Father saw the sin collectively in the world, in the whole of time, of every father. And He poured out His judgment upon His Son, Jesus Christ. Now in this, can you see the value that God has placed upon you? That God the Father said, I abhor. I am angry. My wrath is ignited because of how you were treated. I didn't create you to have that kind of treatment. And I will place my judgment upon the one who caused that to happen. Isn't that what God did? Isn't that what the cross is all about? God was making His statement. His statement against how we have been abused, and His statement at the same time about the value He placed upon us. And so we have to come back and look at these old wounds. And I realize I'm giving it in a broad, general way, but we have to look at these old wounds through a new set of lens. Discovering how God has placed value upon us through what He did to His own Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I would like you, right at this moment, if you've gone through things that are painful, hurtful, distressing, relate to what I say, I'd like you just to commit it to the Father and say, Father, I want to learn how to place a new value upon the old wound and discover the value that You saw in me when You put Your Son on the cross. Could we just commit that to the Father? Now, Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you are the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning, that every good and perfect gift finds its origin and source in you. And Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we lift up to you right now the pain, the abuse, all that has transpired, that the enemy has wanted to color you, pass a shadow of doubt over you. And Father, we declare it as a lie. We declare that in the cross, you poured out your anger, your wrath, because of the wrong that was done against us. And we thank you for that, Father. We release whoever it is to you. And we thank you, Father, for releasing your love to us. Amen. Now, in this, I want to make a statement to us. You see, in our childhood, we're in a stage of vulnerability. And God knows that vulnerability. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. He talks about the child, and he says, as long as we are a child, we're an heir. But the heir doesn't differ from what? The slave. And then he goes on in this, and he says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. And what was the purpose of sending forth his Son? In order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, when we were under the law, if I skip back to a verse earlier, he says we were under the elemental principles of the world. That's the demonic influences. That's what he's talking about. We were under that. Now, I want to take you into Jesus' statement. Matthew chapter 5. He said, if you cause one of these little ones to offend... Can you finish it for me? I think I'm hearing a sound. It's going to increase in volume. I have faith. Absolutely. Thank you, Cammie. That's God speaking. If you offend one of these little ones in this elemental or in this foundational time, this formative time, he said, if you offend one of these little ones, he said, it's better that a millstone be put around your neck and you be cast into the sea. Because God knows the impact that can come during that early stage of development. Now he says, in spite of this, he sent his Son in the fullness of time. I like this. God always arrives just on time. Did he arrive just on time in your life? Made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us from everything that the law was doing to hold us bondage and keep us captive to all those hurts, those things that were being put upon us. Isn't it wonderful that God has designed that redemption for you, for me, as the Father? You have the perfect Father. Will you say it after me? I have the perfect Father. The God and Father of us all. Amen. The Father from whom the whole family in heaven and earth, he says, derives its name. Now, in this, I want to look for a moment at the Father's failure. Let me just put all of these up here. This is actually taken out of Deuteronomy chapter 17, where God speaks to Israel concerning when they come into the land, what they are not supposed to do, what the king is not supposed to do. Now, I think that we're all, he says in 1 Peter, we're a kingdom of priests, kings and priests unto the Lord. Isn't that right? So I think this applies to us. And here are four of the snares, I think, that the enemy sets to try and distract us as fathers from the eternal purpose of God that he wants released through us in the earth. The statue or the idol of success.